Good morning. I believe that the Holy Spirit is a part of God that is always with us. The Spirit drives us to connect further with God and also do good work in the name of the Lord. The Spirit also helps us understand God's word. Let us bow in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, and may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes from the beginning of the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. I will be reading from chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Listen for God's word for you today. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth. As many as came out of the ark, I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy earth." God said, "This is a sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring the clouds over earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on this earth." God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good morning. I bring you greetings from the congregation I skipped out on to be with you today, Wauwatosa Presbyterian Church, just down the road. That's not water. I found it in Spot's old office. This is going to be good. Paige, you know you're right. Remembering your baptism, you'll remember your baptism next year, I assume, because that's also about the time that you'll be dried out. I asked him to put a kiddie pool up here, but, you know. It's a pleasure to be with you today. I recognize the last time I was here with you under different circumstances, but it is a joy to be with you, dear friends. This is a call. This is a story. Genesis, you know it. Noah's Ark, you know it. I want to think about this in a little different way today. And so we got to think about ourselves to think about this in a little different way. How many of you are from Wisconsin? Give me your hands. Born in, oh, I'm surrounded. You heard Jenny say, "I'm not from here." I hear that a lot. You're not from here, are you? I'm originally from California. Last time I was here, like I said, under circumstances that day, very different than today, but it remains an honor for the rest of my life. But then I was from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, which, yes, the place with the groundhog. But now, just down the road, I'm from Wauwatosa. I love Wauwatosa. I love Wauwatosa. I love Milwaukee. It's great for our family. We love Wisconsin. I'm here from the Chamber of Commerce, the tourism industry. But like I said, I get asked more than I expected. I get asked more than I thought I would. Like, "You're not from around here, are you?" they say. That happens kind of a lot. And I tell them, no. And I guess when you ask that question, when somebody tells you, you're not surprised that they say, no, I'm not from around here. They're not surprised. They tell me that I do things differently than they do, and I am different than they are. I'm different than you, right? Right? They're not wrong. But looking from my perspective, you're different too. I like how you laugh there, because you know it's true. Right? Midwest, Wisconsin folks are their own kinds of animal. Right? Like, there's literally sides of ranch dressing for everything. Pizza, french fries, pasta, pancakes, I guess, you know. And there's that bubbler. We didn't have a bubbler. That's not what they call it other places. You know that, right? I learned that when you bump into somebody in Wisconsin, there's that noise that you make. Oh, oh. Oh. You could wear a Packers jersey, I found out, in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. You could wear a Packers jersey and rob a bank. And the eyewitness is going to be like, I don't know, just look like everybody else. But I'll tell you, I thank God for the Green Bay Packers. I thank God for Brett Favre, because now nobody calls me Brent, right? Nobody calls me Brad either. When I lived in Ohio, somebody called me Brat. Laura can just keep quiet now. That's somebody called me Brat. Like, honestly, like, who names their kid Brat? I went to this coffee place. The barista calls up and goes, order for Brat. So I asked her, like, who names their kid Brat? And that's not her job to care about my name, right? So she says, oh, I don't know. I just assume it was a family name. Now, Scott and I have a buddy from seminary. His middle name is a family name. It's Kinsman. That's a family name. Brat is not a family name. Oh, yeah, it's definitely Brat. Brat. I'm named after my great-great uncle, Brat Jerkface. He came over on the Mayflower. I was going to buy a Favre jersey. But you know, I know now, Midwestern folks, not for full price, right? Not for full price. That's a Midwestern thing that Scott Lord did not prepare me for. Not that Scott would have paid full price for anything, anyways. But in Wisconsin, man, you can buy whatever you want, I've learned. You can buy whatever you want. You can buy whatever you want as long as you got what? A deal. I saw a guy the other day, he was wearing a nice jacket. I'm like, hey, man, nice jacket. And he's like, yeah, I found it in an abandoned Boston store. I took it home. I nursed it back to health. But looking for a deal, not paying full price, was why my wife and I went to Babies R Us before it closed. That was sad. Sad. Toys R Us, Babies R Us. Now Jeffrey, that giraffe, works at the zoo. But it was in the news. They were closing. We wanted to buy this fancy stroller, figuring this was our best opportunity to save a couple bucks. So we went there, and no surprise, the place was like totally picked over, but they still had some toys on the shelf. So I went up, and they had this little Noah's Ark play set. And you know the type, right? You might have had this. I bet maybe there's one in the nursery here now with the cute, chubby little plastic animals and the purple hippos with the birdies perched on their heads, this whole happy, smiling menagerie, and it's adorable. It's adorable. I was holding it. We've got a 2-year-old. She'd love it. So the clerk came over to me, seeing me hold this toy in my hand, and she goes, you know, she was very excited. She said, you know, you could stick just that whole thing in the dishwasher. Cleans right up. You could sanitize it with a Clorox wipe. A little bit of bleach, that works too. And she said that, and the biggest smile appeared on my face because she didn't know, but I know, and I'll tell you that the start of a sermon is the hardest part to write. And she said, I was glad I could help. I'm like, me too. Because I don't know about you, but I grew up with a lot of animals. I grew up with parrots and frogs and turtles and guinea pigs and rats and rabbits and even pygmy goats. We had a lot of dogs, no cats. We did have a few ducks, and I was 38 years old before I figured out that they didn't go live on a farm. That's a true story. I hope all the kids actually did go to children. And I think the way that life colors the way that you read Scripture, right? I read Scripture because of how I was raised. You read Scripture for who you are, right? And I know this is true because growing up with animals, dear friends, I know something to be true, and it's that the ark would have been absolutely disgusting. Think about it. Could you even fathom the smell of Noah's ark? Don't look at me like that. There's absolutely two of everything just rooting and tooting for 40 days. All the Febreze in the world is not going to change that. You can light all the candles you want. And if the smell didn't get you, can you imagine the sound? It would have had to have been deafening 24 hours a day, all day, 40 days, the elephants trumpeting, the lions roaring, the birds squawking, whatever the fox says. That joke's only like 7 years old, right? The dogs are barking, and if you thought your neighborhood was bad, wait till you get onto the ark. It would never, never end. And it's you and your family and thousands of stinky, noisy, slithering, buzzing, disgusting creatures on the ark with the doors sealed shut, and there's not a spare inch for a litter box anywhere. And the reason I'm bringing this up, dear friends, is because of this. In other words, that's exactly the way God wanted it. The idyllic, sanitized way that you and I know this story, right? There never seemed to be any of, you know, Wisconsin state bird, the mosquito. Never seemed to be any mosquitoes that are hovering around. Mosquitoes happily doing what mosquitoes do. Sucking the blood out of all the smiling little animals. It's not like mosquitoes do anything else. It's not like they were intended to do anything else. They're blood suckers to their very core, right? And how when you see a little nursery covered in arcs and rainbows, you'll never, never, ever find the scene where every rail, every perch, every conceivable surface is absolutely caked in bird droppings. But you know that's true if you think about it. Because when we think of this ark, when we think of the ark, there's only the giraffes that are sticking their big long heads out the portholes and the little monkeys waving hello. But never the rats who would have certainly invaded the food supply, because there's elephants and their trunks are all curled up, but there never seemed to be any snakes. When we think about it, but Noah could trace his family lineage, his history, all the way back to Adam, who we believe was betrayed by a snake, our story tells. And now Noah had to welcome two of every kind onto his boat. Noah's Ark was the original snakes on a plane. And Noah could not have been happy about that. And we never see any flies, but you know, the flies would have thought they were in paradise. And we never see any pigs. But think about that one for a second. No pigs. Never any pigs. God later on in Leviticus would call pigs unclean. But it says in Scripture that all living flesh lined up, so there were two pigs, two by two, who made it onto the ark with the cute little kittens and the fluffy puppies and those adorable otters that float on their back and hold hands, you know, when they sleep. It's God who holds past, present, and future all together, a God who for 1,000 years is like the blink of an eye, and God knew that pigs would be unclean in the eyes of Israel. God knew they would be off limits for some, but the pigs were called on board too. They were called right alongside all the kosher animals, all the cute and cuddly animals, all the right on board with the animals that we like, the ones that we would choose, but God calls the pigs too, because why? God said so. So why do you think that's it? That is the snakes, the pigs. Why did God call them? And while we're at it, why didn't Noah just swat those two mosquitoes? Why didn't Noah kill the two flies? It's a funny question, I think, but it's serious. Because imagine being Noah and standing at the very threshold of the ark. If it were you, and I'm honestly asking, if you're you, would you have swatted those flies? Would you have squished those little bloodsuckers? Standing right there at the very gate of their salvation as the proverbial waters were starting to rise, would you have said no to any of them? Would you have stood in their way? Would you have kept them off the ark? That's my serious question. Because maybe you're like me, we imagine the polar bears from the Arctic and the rhinos from the Serengeti, the pelicans from where a lot of you all take out vacations along the Outer Banks. There's the llamas from Peru. But what about those raccoons that you blame for knocking over your trash cans? I'm teaching my daughter to call them trash pandas. My wife does not approve. Polar bears and llamas and otters holding hands slowly on their backs, right? But what about the pit bulls? Some think they're born dangerous, that they're born violent as if it was coded into their very DNA. And what about mice? Mice. But the elephants don't like them, right? And we love the elephants. They're our favorites. So now we don't like mice either. So I know, God has called you to come through these doors. God has called you to take your place right here with along the fluffy puppies and the cuddly pandas. But I'm not letting you in. And I'll be honest with you, friends, that if it were me, I would have taken the whole yellow jacket, wasp, hornet community. Wait outside is what I told them. I'd crawl up on deck, watch them drown. With a big old smile on my face. It would have been me who said, yes, listen, like I know God called you on this ark. It was God's plan that you would be saved too. But really what it boils down to is that I just don't like you. So you're not coming on. You're not coming through these doors if I have anything to say about it. But I don't have anything to say about it. Do you? Did Noah? Noah's Ark, it's all lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It's that way because God calls those who God calls. God sends those who God is going to send. When they line up, when they come through the doors, when they line up on the threshold, those who arrive have only their sending to point to, only their call as proof that they aren't here by some fluke, that they didn't stumble upon their deliverance blindly. It's Confirmation Sunday, friends. We celebrate the next generation of this church. We take Scripture seriously as Presbyterians. Our confirmations know that. They were taught that. And you know, if we take the Noah's Ark story seriously, then it teaches this one little bit so crystally clear. Noah builds the ark, but who is responsible for filling it? It's God. God has brought every living thing to their deliverance, brought them like that hymn, just as I am, without one plea, brought them here, called them on board, telling it to them in their own language and saying and whispering into their ear, come, there is a place here for you. I'm here to tell you, friends, that this is God's direction. We are a people of call. You and I are children of a God who calls us into living, who calls us into the life. So you and I can say, we can say boldly now that God did not find the ark, neither did those 2x2 animals. God called them there. God sent the black sheep and the bloodsuckers there too, because that's really good news for people like me. God brought them to the threshold and said, get on board. And so who did God desire, dear friends? Who does God make this promise to? Who does God make this promise to? Not once, not twice, but 5 times. Not some, but all. Everything, it says, every kind, every shape, every tribe, from every herd, both far and near, and in pairs. Don't forget that, and in pairs, so that none would be alone. No, not even in the sanctuary that was their salvation, their deliverance. Because what does our scriptures tell us? That wherever 2 or 3 are gathered, God is there too, right? So it's the pigs, it's the snakes, it's the black sheep, it's the bloodsuckers. And I bring this up because we need to be reminded that this is our story too. This is how we are saved too. God is the one who brings all of us to the doors of the ark. God is the one who brings all of us to the threshold of the sanctuary that was specifically, especially built in preparation for your and your arrival. To be Noah is to understand something, friends. It's to understand that keeps him from questioning and asking, why did we do this? Why did we do this? Knowing it keeps him from planning and wondering about the eventual moment when all the little cute and cuddly puppies and everybody stops getting along and the fangs come out and the hissing starts to happen. And this smiling, sanitized ark that we think of is betrayed. To be Noah is to understand that you are being saved too. To be Noah is to know that on that very same ark, in the very same sanctuary, the very same God is saving you. And all the messy and stinky and loud and, if we're honest, sometimes uncomfortable members that God has brought in to the sanctuary. And so let me close with simply two choices for you. God is calling you. You. Not some version of yourself. Not the one you think others want to see. But you. With the fangs. And the black sheep. You. And if you believe that's true, and I believe it's true about you, even if I don't know you, because God has called me. So the first choice is pretty simple then, right? If you believe that to be true, then the first choice is that you get on board with the God who has who sees it fit to send those who God sends. And who are the people that God sends? You know. It's the black sheep. It's the wolves who wear their clothing. Who does God send? People like me. Snakes in the grass and low-down dirty dogs, right? Who does God send? The leeches and the other bloodsuckers, the rats and the weasels and the sly foxes and the circling sharks. And we're Presbyterians, right? So you know there's a few crazy old bats. Some Chicken Littles, which is another way of saying good old Presbyterians like you and me. Who does God send? Folks like you and me who need God's grace and love, who need forgiveness, who need community. Who does God send? People like you and me, black sheep and bloodsuckers, one and all. And if that makes you uncomfortable, and it might, I might not be back, so I'm being bold here. If that makes you uncomfortable, then, and that's not me, that's not us, that's not Crossroads, then I encourage you to make your peace with that fact. I encourage you to make the peace with the fact that maybe, honestly, you never really thought that you needed saving to begin with. Make your peace with the fact that out there with the waters rising, we'll be fine. So, if that's you, the choice is clear. Just get off the boat. Friends, God has called you to this very place. Dear friends, get on board. Amen.